Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the east. I can see one of my favorite places in Canada, Redhead Cove, Newfoundland. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto, and this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today is going to be great. Matthew Castell is with us. Matthew is the Head of Strategy and Global Macro at Logos LP, logoslp.ca. Matthew, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Hi there, Robert.
I have to ask you, Head of Strategy and Global Macro, what does that mean, global macro?
First and foremost, I run an investment fund, but I also have a stock market information company that helps people build portfolios. And so my title of global macro has to do with my investment style and the style of articles that I cover on our particular investment blog. And so these are issues, everything from international financial movements, could be anything from currency, it could be things that have to do with different countries and their trade flows. So it's a more big picture kind of view of things rather than looking at individual companies. So that's how my partner and I have delineated our roles, where he's more the investment portfolio manager, and I do the sort of macro big picture stuff.
I appreciate the explanation, and we're going to focus in today on something that you're an expert, you're a guru on, and that's five ways to attract investors to your startup, something that in our CA firm at Bennett Gold, we get asked all the time. The listeners to the Profit Business Cast send me emails, they ask that all the time. How do we attract the money? What is it that makes you a guru on the subject, first of all?
Well, as I said before, we have an investment fund, and so we've actually been investing both in public and private companies. So I've basically developed experience in looking at private investments and working with entrepreneurs and having discussions regarding just that exact thing. And I also have experience as a business owner myself trying to raise money and learning about best practices, whether it's raising money or helping companies to raise money as a company that I'm looking at potentially investing in.
Well, I know that we're going to get into the five ways to attract investors. I know that the listeners are chomping at the bit to hear that, but I want to put it a little bit into perspective. And again, given your background at Logos LP, logoslp.ca, there are a few things that companies do wrong. I know that from experience when trying to attract investors. What would you say are the three things that most companies do wrong when they're trying to attract investment dollars?
The number one thing that most companies tend to do wrong is doing it too soon. Ask most entrepreneurs why they started a company, and I would say most would actually say freedom. And so the question is that why are entrepreneurs often in such a rush to give away that freedom to an investor who often has goals of his own, whether it's some kind of short exit, you know, whatever metrics that investor is chasing? So fast-tracking your way to raising money actually can strip away your ability to learn and make mistakes. And also, with larger sums of other people's money on the line, your decision-making is going to get influenced. That's the first one. So I would say, you know, they are bootstrapped for as long as possible. The next mistake that I think a lot of companies make when they try and raise money, they've got the wrong attitude. I find that founders and capital raisers don't stay humble and they don't guard their reputations enough. It's kind of amazing at how small the startup community can be in a city like Toronto, and so a good reputation can go a long way. If you build a reputation for rudeness and unreliability, you actually end up shooting yourself in the foot. You're a representative of your company, so you should always be aware of the image you're trying to project. And then the last one would be kind of undervaluing the impact that social media can have on valuation. In this kind of a situation, if a company can implement a well-executed social media strategy, they can actually grow their business and eventually increase their valuation. Because social media, it really allows you to raise brand awareness. It helps you grow sales, enhance your company's industry reputation. It can improve your customer service and satisfaction. But more importantly, it can help you to broadcast your company's success stories. So that way you're letting people know of, you know, the milestones that you're hitting or the PR that you're generating. Because investors, they kind of want this window into the soul of your business.
And luckily today, most startups across the country are comfortable or very familiar with social media. If they can focus themselves to use it as a tool and not just what my company did today, put it on Facebook, use it as a real marketing tool, I think you're bang on. And this is a new phenomenon that we didn't have 6, 8, 10 years ago when it came to attracting investors. Okay, one more question before we get to your big five ways. I often see companies underestimate the internal resources, whether it's time and effort and investment that it takes, real dollars that it takes to attract attract outside money. Can we just talk briefly about a guideline you would give entrepreneurs as far as the usage of internal resources?
The first thing that kind of comes to mind, it's a bit of a cop-out, but I have to say that you got to be realistic because there's no one-size-fits model here. When I say be realistic, it's kind of approaching fundraising with an attitude. No matter how good your business is and your investor pitch is, securing investment often takes months and sometimes even years. And for the vast majority, the pitches aren't going to work. And so this can have a real big impact on the morale of the workers at your company or even your higher executive. Like the old adage says, try and maintain focus on what you love and what you're good at, and I think the money's going to come.
Let's get into the five ways. Five ways to attract investors to your startup.
Attracting investment capital is a social practice. It's about telling a good story. And so I would say the number one thing to raise money and attract investors is to be a good communicator. So it all starts with personal skills. People are always connected in this day and age, whether it's through internet, smartphones, and things like that. You know, that includes you as a founder. You know, you've got to be available to respond to emails and other people who contact you promptly and thoughtfully. You've got to really work on what story you're telling and make networking a habit. Because once your network has grown, eventually broaching the subject of investing is going to come a lot easier. So that would be the first one, is be a good communicator. The second would be reliable and trustworthy. So this is another personal one, and it's kind of what I was talking about before. Investing is about people, and trust is critical. So reputation management here is essential. So the next one I would say would be build a small group of customers that love your product and really try and leverage that. You know, too often startups try and raise money and force the subject of investing before they even have a group of satisfied early customers. So my tip there would be really to slow down, because what you want is evidence that you know your customer really well and that you have a product that solves a problem that people are willing to pay money for. And that way, you're going to get validation for your business model. This is leverage that you can really use with investors who are going to get turned on to what you're proposing. And so the fourth one, I would say, something to sort of think about when you're developing a particular product or deciding on your business model, and trying to have an idea that creates a brand new market. Because these days, savvy investors, they're looking for big ideas. And so most innovations today are kind of just improvements on current products. So generally, investing in these things actually is quite risky, because these inventions that are just sort of efficiency improvements, they have no staying power and they don't really create permanent jobs. And so what you want to try and do is to try and target some kind of unmet need or non-consumption. So this is about staying ahead of what the customer wants and needs. Otherwise, you're just going to do what everyone else is doing. So this is kind of a difference between developing the next social app versus trying to focus on complicated and important problems, like, for example, fresh water shortage or cybersecurity or maybe eco-friendly building, mobile health. So these serious big ideas are going to come from these types of sectors moving forward. So if you can kind of focus your efforts on these types of unmet needs, I think you're really going to do well when it comes to attracting investor money. One last one. That one, understanding what a strong business model is. So I actually meet with young entrepreneurs who are looking to raise money, and some of them can't distinguish between a successful business model and an unsuccessful one, just from the conversations that I have with them. So the key here is to read, learn, educate yourself in business, because there is a formula for business success. Understanding what a profitable model is, a scalable model, a predictable model, a defensible model, this is really important when you're talking to investors and to get them interested and to get them believing that you really mean business and you know what you're doing.
So I want to take you back into this top five for a second, and that is to focus you in on something you didn't mention, but you effectively referred to it, and that would be a lean startup and multiple iterations. Mm-hmm. Can you address lean startups for me for a minute?
Absolutely. When it comes to the lean startup, the idea there is to get a product to market as soon as possible to a group of individuals and then get feedback from them as often as possible. And that way, you can sort of develop a relationship with several, you know, even a handful of your potential customers, and they can help you making tweaks to that, or rather in the book it says iterations to that product, in order to make it more responsive to demand. Because as I said, implicit in that methodology is this belief that instead of working for long periods of time, and this is what often happens, entrepreneurs work so long in making the perfect product, but haven't actually tested it in a marketplace yet. And therefore, once that perfect product and the hours spent towards creating that perfect product goes to market, no one actually wants it. And so that was sort of what I was getting at. Don't underestimate the importance of this process, this quick process of getting a product out and then going back to the drawing board once you've heard from your customers. I've obviously looked very favorably upon startups that are able to show me this proof of concept and can even present customer testimonials or even introduce me to customers who can extol the virtues of their product. I've actually had that kind of an experience, and it's made a real difference for me in evaluating the company.
And it comes right down to communication. Individuals running companies need to be able to tell the story, which is exactly what you're talking about. And so in getting to storytelling, and for my last question to you, and you're the one that is a proponent of real storytelling, as am I. We've had some expert business storytellers on the air. In your portfolio of companies, can you share a story with us about a company that did successfully attract investors, but all the odds seemed against them when they started?
I do have one great story about a personal investment that I made. So this was outside of my fund, but this is a personal investment that I made, you know, as an angel investor in a particular software as a service company. And this company CEO is an expert storyteller. He's so good at not only telling the story of his company, but also in his relationship with his angels and his particular network of angels that he knows would be interested in his type of software as a service product. And so in his particular situation, he reports, you know, quarterly, obviously, on what's been going on in the business. And in this particular quarter, things didn't go as well as the previous quarters. In a startup, you kind of want to make sure that on a month-to-month basis, things are getting better, not getting worse. And in this particular quarter, things were rough. You know, he had had a migration away from his software platform, so he had lost some customers, and the numbers weren't favorable, but he needed to close a financing round. So this particular CEO was so well-liked and so highly regarded by his group of angel investors that I heard one of them say, and I'm going to quote this, "I don't even need to see the financials. If he says it's good, I'm in." And so this is just kind of an example of a CEO who's really paid attention to reputation and storytelling. And if you're able to do that, these kinds of good things can happen, and you can sort of get through a bad quarter when, as you said, you know, all the odds seemed against you.
We still have a minute or two. Would you like to share another story?
Another story I actually would like to share, and this relates to the point that I made about mistakes that companies tend to make when they're raising money, which is that they have a wrong attitude, you know, especially amongst younger businesses and younger startups. Maybe it's an ego issue or that kind of related problem. I was chatting with him, and I was quite interested in his company. This was a company that was doing some mobile marketing analytics software. I sat down with him to several meetings, and he actually invited me to a particular event. That sounded really interesting, and I thought it would be a great opportunity on his behalf to present that event to me, that opportunity, so that we could get to know each other a little bit more. As I said, investing is a personal exercise. And then after the meeting, there was no follow-up. He never followed up about this event that he talked about bringing me to, but then ended up following up about whether or not I was interested in investing. And so to me, that broke the relationship of trust, and I lost interest in investing in his startup. So, I mean, that's just a perfect example of what I'm talking about when it comes down to being aware of the type of image you're creating for your business and the type of relationships you're building with your network.
And it also comes back to my point earlier, communication. Keep that communication open to all of these prospects. Keep the bridges going. Matthew Cassell, Head of Strategy and Global Macro Logos LP, logoslp.com. Matthew, where can we reach you?
I can be reached at mcastell@logoslp.com. That's my email. And also feel free to check out my website at logoslp.com for investment tips and also for tips for young entrepreneurs who want to raise capital.
And there can never be enough of those tips. Matthew, thank you very much for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Well, thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to speak to us about attracting investors to your startup, reach out to us. Check us out at bennettgold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night. Again, my favorite place, Redhead Cove, Newfoundland.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.